Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. You're listening to The Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in here on SB Nation Radio. Time to get back into the NFL. And joining us now on the BetDSI.com inside line is NFL Insider host over at ESPN 710 Seattle and founder of ClaytonFootball.com, John Clayton, kind enough to join us here on the Gold Standard. And John, you cover the Seahawks. This team got off to a slow start. They overhauled the roster in the offseason, but here they are, right in that wild card race, and they have a favorable schedule the rest of the way. I was trying to think back, other than a Super Bowl season, is this the best coaching job Pete Carroll has done?
Yeah, I think it is. In fact, I've been kind of going back and forth of that the last couple of days, and I know I opened up the phone lines yesterday on my show, and it carried over into two segments, and most people thought that this was his best coaching job. And so I kept on going between 3 years. 2012, which was Russell Wilson's first year, wins 11 games in a playoff game in Washington and almost won the game against Atlanta. I thought that was probably his best. Obviously, 2013, when he wins the Super Bowl and blows out Denver, might have been his best, but I think this one is even better. And the reason I say that is that you look at 2012, that was the third year of the build-up on the talent, and that's when it started to come over the top. Well, here's one where you go from eight Pro Bowl starters on defense to basically one, Bobby Wagner. K.J. Wright's been hurt with a knee injury most of this season. You go from eight to one. You go through, and I know right now they're 16th or so on defense as far as the yards allowed, but they were as low as 7th. They just went through a five-game stretch where they had Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, and Cam Newton. So their numbers were going to come down, but now the numbers are going to go back up. But he's been able to retool with young players on defense. He's been able to get the philosophy back to where he wants on offense running the football. He's got probably one of the deeper running back cores, but of course it was deep last year. They just couldn't run the ball because they're terrible at it. But yeah, they got the running game going. Russell Wilson then is in the position in the fourth quarter to win the games. And even though they should have won one of the first two games, but they didn't, if they win on Sunday against San Francisco, that means that they've come out of this thing pretty much 7-3, which is pretty impressive, and probably the fifth seed in the playoffs.
You mentioned the Niners coming to town on Sunday. Richard Sherman, his first game back, not a member of the Seattle Seahawks. What do you expect that to be like for him and also the fans?
Well, I mean, for at least the fans, and I hope that they would respond the right way. My guess is they probably won't, because they'll think about the ending as opposed to the successes that he had, because he put up pretty much Hall of Fame-type numbers and really established something here at the cornerback position. I hope they recognize that and don't boo, but because of the way that he left, I mean, he kind of left in a negative way. Of course, remember, he was one cut. That he didn't ask to get cut from the team. He got cut coming off an Achilles injury. So I think that he's got this marked off as something that he wants to do, but I think the reaction may be negative, and I think that'll be wrong, because again, this guy gave everything. I know one of the things I talked to him about this week is the fact that he, like Russell Wilson, played through injuries that other players wouldn't play through. I mean, for example, in the second Super Bowl year, he had basically a Tommy John type injury, and he played through that. He had an Achilles injury last year that he probably should have sat, and he didn't, and he blows out the Achilles, but that had been nagging him for some time. He didn't miss practice. He didn't miss games for the most part, and he played at the highest level. So I hope they remember the positives, not the negative ending. But again, he did leave bitter because, I think what it is, his competitive nature was such that he recognized that last year's team and maybe the year before was not going to be a Super Bowl team, and he wants to be on Super Bowl teams.
Talking with NFL Insider host at ESPN 710 Seattle and founder of Clayton Football, John Clayton, joining us on SB Nation Radio. Now, the Ravens, they've won two in a row, currently have the final wild card spot in the AFC. Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. If you're Harbaugh and a guy that's on maybe the hot seat there, depending on how this thing ends up, you've got to keep rolling with Lamar Jackson, right?
Well, I still think, and this is going to be the test game, because remember, they took on a Cincinnati defense that was coming off 500-yard allowed games, and then they played an Oakland Raider team that puts no pressure on the quarterback. And so those were games that they should have won based on the way those teams have been playing, and Lamar Jackson with his running offense and what he was able to do should win. But now here's going to be the real test, because they just have become a pure running team pretty much with two rookies, because Alex Collins was banged up, and so Gus the Bus Edwards comes as a rookie. And he does well, but I don't know if you can totally sustain it when you're playing an offense like Atlanta. Now, I know Atlanta's been a major disappointment, but Matt Ryan's still putting up MVP-type numbers. And so can Lamar match up with Matt Ryan? And if he can't, then I think they really got to get back to Joe Flacco. I think ultimately they're better served, if he's healthy, to go back to Joe Flacco, because he gives you the ability to get more points, get more yards, and be a little bit more balanced. But hey, it's a good start for Lamar, and I think it does signal that if he has to step back after a week or two, because he's going to start this week, and in another week or two, if he steps back, I think it shows that there's a good future there with Lamar, and then Joe has to find a job next year.
Now, staying in that AFC North, Big Ben, some comments in the last 24 hours as people talking. He says he's earned the right to publicly criticize his teammates after he did so in a radio interview in the Pittsburgh area. Do you agree with him?
No, I think he took it a little bit too far. Hey, listen, I think to make a couple comments like that is not a big thing. I mean, he's done it now more so in the last couple years, because if Antonio Brown wasn't playing to his highest level, he'd call him out. He'd call out Le'Veon Bell on different issues and all that stuff. But I think, you know, to kind of question the offensive coordinator, who has given him more freedom than Todd Haley has, that to me is a little bit too much, because, you know, he was right in several ways. Because, for example, when Todd Haley was there, Todd dictated everything. There was very little audibling, so much so that if Ben was down at the one-yard line and wanted to run a goal line sneak, which I think he's successful on like 18 and 19 plays, he was not allowed to audible. And so now, basically, the offensive coordinator comes in and says, hey, Ben, what do you want to do? And so he has more freedom than he's ever had, and he's also more comfortable with this offense than he's ever been. But I think to kind of shoot it down a little bit was a little bit too much.
Talking with John Clayton, 7-10 Seattle, founder of ClaytonFootball.com. Now, Reuben Foster, that was the biggest story yesterday, claimed on waivers by the Washington Redskins, but he's on that commissioner exempt list. And I don't know if you agree, but I personally don't think he'll ever end up playing for Washington. And if that is the case, why even go down this road and take the PR hit and mess if you're Washington at all?
Well, you're taking a PR hit for next year to see if you have a chance to get something cheap. And that's what they ended up doing. And, you know, football-wise, I can understand it. Public-wise, it's tough because, again, you leave yourself open to criticism. But I think in some ways they've kind of handled it somewhat of the right way. Again, more than likely it was probably better just to pass on him and then pick him up as a free agent next year. But at least now you know that if he is able to play and he's able to at least change his life and get better, then maybe this second chance can do it. But you knew somebody was going to do it because, you know, like, for example, I would bet had Dallas not been so good at linebacker this year, that would have been a team. Remember, they took the chance on Greg Hardy and others. But again, when you got one of the defensive rookie of the years at linebacker, I mean, you've got Sean Lee, who's injured. You've got Jalen Smith. You didn't need Reuben Foster. And when you have four linebackers in that 3-4 defense for the Redskins, you can still use in a good defense Reuben Foster, because when he wants to play, he can be one of the better young linebackers in the league. So it's one where you take the publicity hit for the chance to maybe hit gold next year. But hey, if the case turns out to be too tough or the suspension turns out to be too long, simple thing is you just cut him.
Now, out of the teams currently on the outside looking in terms of the playoff race, we talked a lot about Seattle to start things off. Who do you think's the most dangerous the rest of the way? Is it really Seattle in the NFC and the Colts in the AFC, or is there somebody else in mind for you?
Well, I think you have to start to look at the Colts a little bit, because I think what you can see with Seattle, I mean, because I thought all along when everybody was saying they're going to be 4-12 and 5-11 and all that stuff, I thought they were going to be a 9-win team, a Super Bowl team, no, but they've kind of gone the way that they have, and so the way it's shaping up. You know, whether it's, you know, you figure that if they're going to be the fifth seed, they're either going to play in more likely in Dallas, and they've already beaten Dallas, or they'd play eventually if they're a sixth seed, probably in Chicago. They lost there, but I think with a young quarterback, you know, have a chance to win that. So they very well have a chance to be a one-win team in the playoffs, and then they'll lose in the second round. But I think when you look at Indianapolis, if they get the right matchup, you know, they're not going to a championship game, but they're dangerous. Andrew Luck is playing as well as any quarterback in the league right now. He's gone through, what, six games, has only had one sack, you know, even though the running game has been off and on because of injuries. But Andrew's just been carrying this team. I mean, he's been automatic for three touchdowns a game. And so that, I think, is a dangerous team to look at because, again, when you have a hot quarterback like that, and if the defense kind of rallies around him, then you know, they have a shot to do some things.
It looks like the comeback player of the year will reside in Indianapolis as well with Andrew Luck. What about the coach of the year?
Coach of the year, I think, it, you know, I mean, it's sad because you don't reward the good coaches who have been there for some time. I mean, I think that in the pecking order, I think you have to put Sean Payton. Again, Matt Nagy, I think, is going to win it because nobody thought that he was going to be a playoff team. So he's most likely going to be the winner of it. But I think that you really have to look at Sean McVay. You have to look at Sean Payton. You have to look at Andy Reid. Andy Reid probably should be in the number two hole because what you look at is that I thought they were going to take a step back because Alex Smith, say what you want about him, played at an MVP level last year because he was able to get the ball downfield better than he ever was. And I thought Patrick Mahomes was going to take the season to catch up. And what's he do, throw 37 touchdown passes and have an MVP-type season? Well, that's Andy Reid. And so Andy, with the offense and the talent that they have, has been at the high level. And then I think you have to look at Sean McVay and you have to look at Pete Carroll. But ultimately, it's probably going to end up being Matt Nagy. And somewhere in the mix, you have to look at Frank Reich. Because look at that 1-5 start and how they've bounced back. But I think we're seeing a lot of great quarterback play. But I guess you can see with the number of guys that I'm mentoring, it's been a lot of good coaching.
Last one for you as we're talking with John Clayton here on SB Nation Radio. A name maybe you expect to be the hot coaching candidate for who knows how many openings. It looks like, well, we could have maybe four or five.
Oh, no, there's going to be seven or eight, if not more, I think. It's going to be pretty massive. But, I mean, what you have to look at is what's the model of what everybody wants. They want the offensive play caller who can work with young quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks, and then after that, maybe you go for a defensive guy. So, I mean, clearly, if anything happens to Mike McCarthy, he's going to have two or three offers, and I think Mike's going to be available. You know, if John Harbaugh does not make the playoffs, I think he's going to be available. And so they'll be the two hottest names. Josh McDaniels is going to be a hot name. I didn't care what he did against Indianapolis. He's an offensive play caller. Then you start to look at John DeFilippo, Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinators are going to be out there. I mean, I think the young quarterback coach from Kansas City is going to be in the mix along with Eric Bieniemy, even though, again, they haven't called plays, but they know the system. You know, if you don't have the play caller coming from one, you go to the hot play calling teams and you go for the next guy up. And so that's going to be the because everybody wants that offensive coach more right now than the defensive coach because that's the winning formula in this league, at least this year.
Do you think, Cliff Kingsbury, of course, fired at Texas Tech, and who knows, maybe he's going to stay in the college ranks, but that was a name a lot of people have kind of just thrown out there and said, hey, if you're an NFL team, you should look his way.
Oh, I'm not as a head coach, but I think that he's got a great chance to come on as an offensive coordinator. And so once you start to get, and again, this may be a little bit of a problem, because once you start to get to the defensive head coaches getting jobs, then that may be 2 weeks in, and that may be too late to get a Kingsbury, and maybe what he does is take a job with a college team. And so that could be a possibility. But no, I think that he does have a great chance to come in, because if you're going to be a defensive head coach and you have a young mobile quarterback, he's the guy that you want to have as your coordinator. And again, a couple guys I didn't mention is Matt Stewart, the Iowa State coach. I mean, I think you have to look at any of the coaches in college that call these plays, RPOs and everything else, because that's the future of this league. I mean, maybe you like it or you don't like it, but NFL football is looking like Big 12 football right now. It's all offensive and a lot of scores.
NFL Insider, host at ESPN 710 Seattle and founder of ClaytonFootball.com, John Clayton. Thanks, as always, for your time. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Okay, Alex, thanks.
Always enjoy having